From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, Christian Research Journal, Hank, or the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Hebrews 1, verse 3. It is not at all uncommon to see images such as Caravaggio's Madonna and Child or Da Vinci's Virgin and Child in magazines, in movies, or in manuscripts. Which begs the question, are such images of Jesus idolatrous? Byzantine Emperor Leo III apparently thought so. As such, in the 4th century AD, he ordered the abolition of icons or revered images or sculptures of Jesus, of Mary, of angels, and of saints. That sparked the great iconoclastic controversy, so called because those who supported the eradication of icons, often on grounds that they violated the Second Commandment's prohibition of graven images, were known as iconoclasts or image breakers. The controversy sparked in the 4th century persists to this very day. As such, the question emerges, do the images of Jesus really violate the Second Commandment? To begin with, if the Second Commandment condemns images of Jesus, then it condemns making images of anything at all. Therefore, God would have been guilty of contradiction himself because he commanded the Israelites to adorn the Ark of the Covenant with the images of cherubim. Furthermore, in context, the commandment is not an injunction against making graven images, but an injunction against worshiping them. As such, God warns, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Finally, if viewing an image necessarily leads to idolatry, then the incarnation of Jesus Christ was the greatest temptation of all. Yet Jesus thought it appropriate for people to look on him and worship him as God. That worship, however, was to be directed to his person, not to his appearance. Indeed, idolatry lies not in the making of images, but in the worship of man-made images in the place of the image of the invisible God. This Christmas season, may images of Jesus, Mary, old Saint Nick, and angels praising God on high cause you to worship the incarnate God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men, on whom his favor rests."
We have a lot of people hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. Talk to Don first, listening on WTLN in Orlando, Florida. Hi, Don.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm kind of in the middle of a rainstorm again.
You sound like you're drowning.
Yeah, it's raining pretty hard over here. But that's par course for the last week and a half for us.
Uh-huh.
The reason why I'm calling is I have a couple of friends who are Muslim, really good friends of mine, really good people, and I recently attended a seminar at a church that I used to attend years ago about other denominations and God, and one of them was on Islam. And the gentleman that was giving the talk stated that in Islam, Muslims believe in Christ, and they believe he's coming back. They just don't believe that he actually claims to be the Son of God. However, and neither do they believe that he died on the cross, but that God spared him, and in his place was a substitute, such as like the thief on the cross, or Barabbas in this case, or something like that.
Or Judas. God made Judas look like Jesus, and the lookalike was crucified in
Correct.
His place. That's right, yeah.
Correct. However, they do believe that he's coming back, but my question is really on the status of salvation. They believe him, that he's a prophet, and that he's coming back. They just don't believe that he's the God.
Yeah, in fact, to their way of thinking, calling God Father and Jesus Christ Son suggests sexual procreation. And in the Quran, it says, it is not befitting of the majesty of Allah that he should beget a son, and then emphatically stated that Allah begetteth not, nor is he begotten. But the Bible doesn't use the term begotten with respect to the Father and Son in the sense of sexual reproduction, but rather in the sense of special relationship. So when the Apostle John speaks of Jesus as the only begotten of the Father, he's underscoring the unique deity of Jesus Christ. But they think that suggesting that Jesus Christ is, as they think of, the partner to God, is an unforgivable sin. They call it the sin of shirk.
Right. I'm familiar with that as well.
Yeah.
So for them, really, salvation, in terms of we know it and what Christ claimed, they cannot attain salvation. Because in Orthodox Christianity, you also have to believe that Christ is the Son of God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the mother of all questions. Who do you say that Christ is? So Muslims will affirm the sinlessness of Christ, but they deny his sacrifice upon the cross, and they deny his subsequent resurrection. And that is the heart of Christianity. So they deny the very heart of Christianity. They believe that God is transcendent. And as a transcendent God, they never know how they're going to actually fare in eternity. They can hope, but they never know with complete certainty how they will fare in eternity.
Okay. All right. I understand that you had a Muslim caller some years ago, and it was actually put on tape.
Yeah, I've had a lot of Muslims call this broadcast over the years, but I had one call in particular that stands out in my mind because it was a call that took the entire broadcast, over an hour of communication, and I'm sure that we have that available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So if you hang on, we can get that into your hands. Let's go back to the phone line. We'll talk next to Howard. Howard's listening in Seattle, Washington on KGNW. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed. My question for you today is basically, I was reading in 2 Peter and reading how he's addressing those who are like precious faith and things of that nature, those who are beloved. When I was reading in chapter 3 of the Bible, 2 Peter, somewhere around the 9th verse, I don't have my Bible before me, but he was talking about God. He said that God is not willing that any of you perish, but that all would come into repentance. So my question is for you is, what is your understanding or your interpretation of the scripture? Is he... do you believe that God is willing? Do you believe that God desires all men to be saved? And that's my question, based on that scripture.
Well, God doesn't want anybody to perish, but God is going to allow you to have a relationship with Him, In fact, God desires that relationship with humanity. But God is not a cosmic rapist who is going to force himself on you either in time or in eternity. God is going to either allow you to say to him, "Thy will be done," or he will say to you in the end, "Thy will be done." Which is to say that those who do not want a relationship with him in time are not going to be in the situation where God imposes that relationship on them in eternity. If he were going to do that, the righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. So if you do not want a relationship with God, you will be separated from his love and goodness and glory for all eternity, because that is what you want.
Okay, I understand, because the way I understand our Lord being sovereign and omnipotent and all-knowing, he says in the particular scripture, he talks about that God made all things for himself, Proverbs 16, and that not only that, but even the wicked for the wicked day. So it just, and his all-knowing, sometimes I come across people who say that God wants everybody to be saved, but I guess if they're not saved based off of their own will, then that would appear that God is frustrated.
No, God's not frustrated at all. God has provided a way for us to have a relationship with him, but God in the beginning created humanity with the potential for evil in that he gave them freedom of choice. And so they could freely choose to love and obey him or freely choose to reject him and be the arbiters of what is right and wrong themselves. And because God created the potential for evil, and because we actualize that evil, we now have a situation where there's fallenness not only within humanity, but also within the created order itself. And the entire Bible is the unfolding, outworking of God's plan of redemption.
Right.
Which culminates in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So God's not frustrated. God has given us the free choice to either love him or reject him. And if love were coerced, I would say that it would be frustrating, to say the least, certainly from a human level. But God does not coerce us to love him. We love him because we choose to love him. And that choice ultimately will result in an eternity in which we can love him and have a relationship with him as we learn and grow and develop without error.
Okay, so as you explain that, my understanding is that we would have a free will as you're explaining that.
Yeah,
I believe that God is frustrated at all either. But I know. One thing I would ask then is that in John the Baptist, where he says it's not by the will of flesh or by blood, that scripture in the first chapter of John where he breaks down the will, I would want to get more clarification on that, because it appears as if Peter talks about Paul said some things that were hard to understand. And in Romans, I guess my question would be, you know, when he was breaking down the vessels of honor and the vessels of destruction, and where he was breaking down according that his election might stand. So he was talking about before Esau and Jacob was even born, that basically God, them not doing good or evil, that basically God had loved Jacob and hated Esau.
Yeah, well,
trying to understand, you know, wrapping it all up pretty much is basically my understanding from Scripture is that God knows who are his, God knows who will be saved, And God is not frustrated if somebody, of course, rejects him. And
okay, well, at this point, I only have time for a very short answer because I'm coming up to a break. But let me tell you this, that you need to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. You need to understand that when Paul in Romans is making statements, those statements are not in isolation. Oftentimes, he is only quoting a part of a text that comes from the Old Testament. You have to understand where that part of the text comes from, so you can read the text in its entirety in the Old Testament. But the fact that God knows what's going to happen doesn't mean that what is going to happen is fatalistically determined. It certainly is not, and certainly we wouldn't want to blame this on God. Either. There's not much else I can say because I'm running out of time. I'll be right back with more of your questions in just a few moments. Please don't touch that dial.
The meaning of Christmas is often lost in the hustle-bustle world of pitches, parties, and presents that litter the race from Thanksgiving to the New Year. Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer Man and president of the Christian Research Institute, provides powerful perspective in The Heart of Christmas, where he communicates the truths of Christ coming in the flesh in his signature style, which gets to the heart of the matter with cogent precision, utilizing his memorable hankronym, C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S. Also, a solo classical guitar Christmas collection of carols and hymns by James Cobb on audio CD accompanies each gift book. Order today for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274. Or order online at equip.org. Also, don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition signed by Hank or the special discount packages of 6 or 12 to give to family and friends. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with more of the program.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the teachings of self-help superstar Anthony Robbins. Does he promote personal power or harmful hedonism? Lee Strobel equips you to share your faith in natural settings in our effective evangelism column. And don't miss our feature article on the moral views of scientist and ardent atheist Richard Dawkins as the journal examines the question, can morality be based in our selfish evolutionary past? Also, don't miss a review of the influential internet movie Zeitgeist, our practical hermeneutics department, viewpoint articles, or our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God? What is truth? Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
As we approach Christmas and our year end, we'd like you to consider the importance of what the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is doing. We bring the message of Christmas, the message of Christ, year-round, 24 hours a day. Every question is an opportunity to redirect where someone spends eternity. And that's why we urgently need you to help us as we finish this calendar year strong. Right now, we're running behind our budgeted goals. Help us to get next year off to a great start so that we can finish the year physically healthy. If you've benefited from the programming of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our website, equip.org, or our publications Christian Research Journal and Equip, then we need you to partner with us with a strong financial gift. You can contact us by calling our toll-free number, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can give online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Thank you for your help, and may God richly bless you this Christmas season. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And on the line with me, Michael O'Fallon. He is president and CEO of Sovereign Cruises. And we have a little bit of a history with Sovereign Cruises now, having done several cruises with them. And one of the things that I'm particularly excited about is that Michael O'Fallon is involved in every aspect of the cruise. He's involved in putting the cruise together, but so much more in personal attention and detail as people embark upon a journey of a lifetime. And when I talk about a journey for a lifetime, I'm talking about $449 for over 30 hours of teaching, training, and fellowship. It is an extraordinary experience. And Michael, as we start to talk about this particular cruise, introduce exactly what people will experience from start to finish.
Well, first of all, Hank, I believe that our purpose is to be able to serve the body, and especially the listeners of the Bible Answer Man program, and folks that follow and read the Christian Research Journal. It's our pleasure to be able to come and serve them as they come aboard with us and experience a journey with Hank Hanegraaff, Steve Camp, and the other folks with the Christian Research Institute, to be able to have them have a time of edifying and iron sharpening iron for an entire week. Now, while that's happening, at the same time, you are enveloped on a ship where you have the best of accommodations, the best of food, the best of service. And if you take a look at it this way, Hank, if you look at 7 days that you could get, let's say at a land resort, or maybe a lot of the folks that listen to your program have been to conventions, you get 7 days of incredible worship, teaching, fellowship, questions and answers, time with Hank Hanegraaff and his wonderful family, time with Steve Camp, all of this for 7 days for $449. And if you look at that, that's less than $100 per day. So with all of this, you're going to be edified during this time, more so than I think that you can in any other situation. And that's what it is our pleasure to bring to you.
Let's talk about the logistics of this for just a moment for people who may never have been on a cruise before. I remember the first time I went on a cruise, I did not realize how special a cruise was because once you get on board, you unpack your luggage, you never have to do it again. You just end up in a different destination. So it's not like you have to pack up from your hotel room, get in a bus or a car or on a plane, go to the next destination, unpack again. Once you're unpacked, you are, as it were, a floating hotel.
Correct. You have a 5-star hotel for the week that is your home. And as a matter of fact, even coming out of your cabin, no matter what stateroom accommodation grade that you're going to be taking, we have inside cabins, we have window cabins, we have balcony cabins, and we have suites. But all of those cabins, you're only going to have about a minute or a minute and a half walk from your cabin to the room will be where we'll be worshiping and where we'll have fellowship in the Word each day. So it's such an easy way for you to be able to get around. And also the closeness that you have with your family during that time is unparalleled. It's even if you've been on a large convention campus, it's easy to kind of get lost in the crowd. Here on the ship, the friends that you make, the fellowship that you have, these are relationships that last a lifetime.
I got to tell you that you've set this up for many ministries, but what you've done for us is quite extraordinary, because not only do we have morning sessions, but we have evening theology talks. Give people a little bit of a perspective of what theology talks are all about.
Well, theology talks, really the entire idea came from many years ago with me driving home from work and listening to this program called The Bible Answer Man. And it's a great opportunity for you to be able to come in and ask questions and discuss things with Hank, to be able to really reach into the depths of his knowledge. And as well, not only just ask questions, but as Hank does so well on the show, that you have a dialogue with him about some of these questions that have maybe been pressing you, some things that you really want to have a solid, cogent answer for that maybe you haven't been able to receive in other places. That's our intention, but it's also a way that you can be able to do this in a non-confrontational atmosphere where it's relaxed, where you have a cup of coffee, you're able to discuss these things with Hank, and believe it or not, we're able to pull that out off with 200-plus people in the room.
And you talk about the Bible Answer Man broadcast format. It is a question and answer, but something that I can't do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast is actually see people, interact with them personally. But this is an obstacle that's removed on the cruises because we have the personal interaction that so often we describe as having a cup of coffee together. We can't do that in the truest sense of the word on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, even though it's a very personal medium, talking about radio. When we're on the cruise, it's a much more personal interaction format kind of event.
Absolutely. And Hank, I know that you probably have some experiences over the past couple of events that we've done that are things that you'll carry with you for a long time, because you're not just meeting somebody once and sitting down with them. You're meeting with them every evening and every morning. So, you know, what's impressed upon your mind, as well as the person that you're meeting, is something that goes beyond just the quick question, and maybe you'll remember somebody a couple years down the road. There is a relationship that occurs. And really, I think that that's one of the great benefits of being able to come along with this, is maybe you have been someone who's listened to Hank for the past 10 years. You're someone who's maybe called in once or twice. But this is your opportunity to really get to know Hank, his family, as well as the rest of the Christian Research Institute.
You mentioned my family, and I would suspect that most people have forgotten about me by the time they meet my family.
You know, you just have a great group of kids. And I say kids, I should say that Hank doesn't raise children. Hank raises adults. And I mean that from his youngest to his oldest. And that's a great model that all of us can learn from. Those the Hank Hanegraaff family are, and I don't want to use the word children, but his adults that he has are people that come and help us out even when they don't need to. But they're the most outreaching family you could possibly imagine, and they're well raised by you, Hank. I appreciate that.
And we're just going to have a great time together, because this is, as you mentioned, family. It's not only my family, but it's our extended family. We're talking about people with whom we have a partnership in ministry, because ultimately all of this at the end of the day is about equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. Not only in the U.S., but around the world. The Ministry of the Christian Research Institute is now reaching globally people for time and for eternity. Our ministry partners, our extended family, big part of that, and we want to share all of that together as we discuss what we can do while we have breath and life, the opportunity to have incredible fellowship on the seas, but we look forward to a new heaven and new earth wherein dwells righteousness, no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. It's all a prelude of what is to come.
Amen. Now, folks, you can take advantage of this you have the opportunity to save $50 per person by signing up for the low rate, as Hank already mentioned, of $449 plus port taxes and government fees. You can register through equip.org, and that's EQUIP.org, or you can call Sovereign Cruises and Events at 877-768-2784, extension 101, and one of our kind staff will be able to take your reservation there, and then you're on with us.
One more thing before I let you go, Mike. Let's talk for just a moment about the extraordinary situation we find ourselves in. We have an economy that's very difficult for a lot of people, but though there's an enormous downside to that and people are struggling, there is an upside to that as well, because the pricing for this cruise is unheard of in the industry.
Well, and I tell you, Hank, it's not just unheard of in the industry, but in terms of what ministries do, and this is where I really have to take my hat off to Hank Hanegraaff and CRI and the Bible Answer Man, is that I know, folks, you have seen other ministries that have cruises. Hank is extending this to you as an opportunity for you to be able to take advantage of a rate that is lower than what you can find on any of the search engines and so forth that are out there. It's $449 per person for the inside cabins. This is a rate low enough to be looked at less than $100 a day for everything, your food, your accommodations, and everything else. And it's done at a time when this is what's needed. People are going to still take vacations, but we're doing it in such a way where it's not going to have to be a major financial concern for you and for your family.
And we've talked a lot about my family, Kathy, the kids, myself, have not mentioned Steve Camp. But from your perspective, Michael, you have known Steve Camp as I have for many, many years. He's a Grammy Award-winning artist. But more than that, he's a Bible teacher and maybe what we would describe fondly as the absolute real deal.
The real deal, and I think you just said it, he's a singing theologian. I think one frustration that maybe Hank has or I have is that, as Steve puts it so many times, is that we end up singing songs that are fluff, praise songs that have no depth. Every time in worship that we have with Steve Camp, it's really him taking us to the throne of grace again, because every word in his songs is impactful. Not only that, but the worship that he leads is heartfelt. It's mindfelt as well. It's a connection between both the mind and the heart. And so it really is the, I think in all terms, it's the best worship time, and as well going into the Word with you, that someone can possibly experience.
Well, Michael, as always, my deepest gratitude to you and your staff. You have an extraordinary staff, as people will find out. The most helpful people in the world, and I don't say that lightly, just extraordinary people who God uses to bless our constituency in a very significant way. So I'm very proud and pleased to be partnering with you in this particular process.
It's our pleasure to serve you.
God bless you. That was Michael O'Fallon. He is the president and CEO of Sovereign Cruises. We've been partnering with them in ministry for a long period of time now and look forward to a continued relationship, making a difference for time and for eternity. Again, sign up, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010, the 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. Early bird pricing begins at only $449 per person plus port taxes and government fees and ends December 30th, 2009. This incredibly low price includes accommodations, meals, and all of our sessions during the week. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101. That's 877-768-2784, extension 101. Or by going online to our website,
www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. Hank will return with more of the Bible Answer Man right after this.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Christmas is the tremendous news that little baby Jesus came as God in flesh. Hank Hanegraaff has penned a hardbound devotional taking the truths of the Christmas story and turning them into traditions. In the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each devotion is beautifully presented and complemented with an appropriate Christmas carol and thought-provoking questions. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 daily devotions that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas carol CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends. That's equip.org. Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Institute, our website, www.equip.org, and the Christian Research Journal give you a front row seat to the intellectual confrontations and counterfeit philosophies that oppose the church and the truth of God's Word today, and equip you with well-reasoned, respectful answers that the Bible commands us to give. We are encouraged to know that by God's grace, your participation with our ministry has made a difference. To be a co-laborer with us in the battle, please pray regularly for these ministries, and please consider giving a special gift to support these outreaches. To donate, call CRI today at 888-7000-274 or go online to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Let us go right back to the phone lines, talk to Mike, listening on WMCA in Manhattan, New York. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question which actually recurs like every Christmas, and it's about who decided that the date of the birth of Christ was on the 25th of December. And by the way, some churches, I know that most churches celebrate it on the 25th, but some churches still, like Armenian Church, I think, celebrates on the 6th of January, and the other Orthodox churches, including, I think, the Russian, celebrates on the 7th of January. So the question is, who decided the birth of Jesus was on the 25th of December. And if it is correct, then why do we say start the year, our calendar, like a week later rather than on that day? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but remember that we did not find the time that Jesus Christ was born, because neither scripture nor tradition are specific enough to pinpoint that exact date that Jesus Christ was born. The best historical data puts Jesus' birth somewhere between 4 and 6 BC and perhaps sometime in midwinter, but we don't know for certain. So the point is not that we know when Jesus Christ was born. The point is that the early Christian church chose December 25th as the day of celebration because they wanted to establish a rival celebration to a time of pagan revelry. They wanted to use this as a specific time in which we could say the real answer to humanity's plight is in the birth, death, life, resurrection, ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
But you know that most historians, the consensus of historians, is that Jesus was born in the spring. That's what I read.
Well, that's not necessarily true. That's not a consensus of historians. But even if it was, that's the point that I'm making. The point I'm making is that the purpose of December 25th is not to say this is actually the day that Jesus Christ was born. What happened is the Romans of the time
Yes.
celebrated a particular pagan festival at the close of December.
Right.
And they also thought that December 25th marked the day of the winter solstice. And so they wanted, as early Christians, to say that's paganism, and here's real historical fact and evidence. Jesus Christ invaded time and space. So they purposely picked a day corresponding to pagan revelry and established a rival celebration.
You are perfectly right there. That I know. However, why don't we then start the year on the 26th of December rather than the 30th, you know, like a week later, our calendar, I mean?
Well, I don't think the birth of Jesus Christ is the time in which we establish the new year.
I don't know. The calendar, this is our calendar, you know what I mean? Not the Muslim calendar, for instance, starts on a different day, depending on the birth of Muhammad or whatever. But that's why it should have started like on the 26th of December or the 25th of December, rather than a week later. And anyway, I mean, I think you pinned the point that when you said that it was, we chose this, you know, the Christians chose this day, to make it like, you know, for a particular symbolic, significance.
Right. So Christmas or Christ Mass was designated a spiritually edifying holy day or a holiday on which to proclaim the supremacy of the Son of God over the superstitions concerning gods like Saturn, the god of agriculture, and Sol Invictus, which was the unconquerable sun god in pagan mythology. And here we say that the Greco-Roman gods are mythology. Christ really invaded time and space.
You are perfectly right there. And as you know, we the history of Christianity starts with the resurrection and goes backwards.
Yes.
And that's why we, at the time when Jesus was born, nobody was interested, if you know what I mean. And but then that's why we can't really fix it or pin it down. But I think your explanation is well taken, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your answer.
You got it, Mike. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Kim. She's listening on The Word in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Hank. My question is from Luke 23:28. Jesus was talking from the cross to the grief-stricken women, and Jesus saying it was fortunate that they never bore children?
Well, remember that Jesus Christ, when he left the temple and he was walking away, this was prior to his crucifixion, of course, And the disciples called his attention to the buildings of the temple, and look how beautiful these buildings are. And Jesus had pronounced these buildings desolate. And the reason that he did is that the rulers of Israel had failed to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled temple, priest, and sacrifice. And so Jesus actually not only said, Ichabod, your house is left desolate, but he said, not one stone here will be left on another. And the disciples wanted to know when that was going to happen. When was Jerusalem? When was the temple going to be destroyed, the place that had given them their sociological and theological identity? And Jesus says that all of that would happen within a generation. Well, Jesus now was taken to the cross, and in the passage in Luke chapter 23, as he's being led away, there are women who are mourning and wailing for him, and he's saying, remember, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. In other words, you are headed for a very difficult time, a time in which there's going to be upheaval of society, a time in which there's going to be martyrdom, suffering, persecution. You will think like the whole world is coming to an end. You will lose Jerusalem and the temple. And so you're going to go through a very difficult time. They're going to persecute you just like they are now going to lead me away and crucify me. And so he's warning them, in essence, of what is to come in that generation as Jerusalem is plowed under like a field and the temple is utterly destroyed.
Okay, that answers my question. That was good. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thanks so much for your call. And want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Alan, who is listening in Canada, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, on CHRB. Hi, Alan.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. Just a question on the doctrine of once saved, always saved. Do you believe that, or do you believe that one can lose their salvation?
Well, no, I believe that God's trees are evergreen. You can slip on board, you can never slip overboard. So I do not believe that you can be born again and again and again. I believe you could only be born again, and once you are born again, then the very one who saves you is also the one who sanctifies you or daily conforms you to the image of Jesus Christ. So the one who justifies you continues the work of conforming you to his image to the day in which you will be glorified. That day, of course, we will meet Jesus face to face.
Just one more quick question. In the Lord's Prayer, he talks about, you know, forgive me or forgive our trespasses, and 1 John 1:9. What's the purpose of those verses then?
Well, we are to ask people for forgiveness. We are to forgive those who seek our forgiveness. Forgiveness is always a two-way street. So it's never unilateral. It's always bilateral. It takes two. It takes one that's wanting to be forgiven and one willing to forgive.
Okay. Sounds good.
And I've written specifically about how that phrase is used in the Lord's Prayer in a book called The Prayer of Jesus.
Okay.
Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
You got it. Danielle, you're next, listening on the web in Sandy, Utah. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a baby Christian. I was just saved on the 27th of September. So.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I've been listening to you a little bit, and my question was, I heard the tail end of a question when you were, I think you were talking about a guy's father that had died, and he was saved, and so his spirit was with the Lord, but his body was not with him yet. So, I think you said that his body will be with his spirit again after the rapture, the second coming. What happens to those people who aren't saved that die? Where did their spirit go until judgment day and whatnot?
Yeah, Jesus actually defines that in Luke chapter 16, so you may want to read that. But he tells the story of a rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus is a beggar who is lying by the gate of the rich man. And in the story, or the parable, both die. And the beggar ends up in Abraham's bosom, or paradise, which is a way of talking about being in the presence of God. The rich man ends up in torment, and he's awaiting the time in which he will enter eternal torment, which is to say that he is now in a disembodied state, but still not in the presence of God. And then Jesus says, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the grave will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So those who are now in torment, awaiting judgment, at the resurrection will be resurrected, but they will be resurrected to eternal conscious torment, which is a way of saying that they will forever be outside of the loving presence of God.
Great. Well, also, do you know, is there any definition or any place we can go to learn about, what is torment? Is it just a place without the presence of God, or?
Yeah, the Bible uses all kinds of metaphors when it talks about what eternal conscious torment is like. It is said to be everlasting, unquenchable, eternal. And I suppose nothing codifies the horror of hell more vividly than the word Gehenna itself. Gehenna is a Greek word that conjures up images of bones, burning bodies, and birds tearing flesh of our rotting corpses, a place where the worm does not die, where the fire is not quenched. Now, all of these, again, are metaphors, a way of talking about what it will be like to forever be apart from the glory and the goodness of God. The most excruciating pain can be endured if we know that it's going to end, but in hell, no such hope exists because we will be forever separated from the goodness of God.
Well, I'm glad I'm saved.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, and you're going to have a wonderful experience in the new heavens and the new earth, because when we're restored, the universe will be restored, and we're going to be like Adam and Eve. We're going to have the presence of God. We're going to get to know Him more fully and forever explore the glory and grandeur, not only of the one who saved us or saved you by His grace along with everyone else, but we'll also be able to explore His created handiwork. Thanks again for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
As the Christmas holidays approach, don't forget about the Bible Answer Man website, www.equip.org, for your gift giving this year. Equip.org is a comprehensive tool in place for your edification, connecting you with the latest and best the Christian Research Institute has to offer. When you visit equip.org, you can also listen to past broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man, order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast, or consider giving the Christian Research Journal or one of Hank's recent books as a gift. It's also a vehicle by which you can contact CRI directly or to give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry. It's the wealth of information and research you'd expect from the Christian Research Institute. Again, the address is www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Set sail for a week at sea with Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer Man, and the Word this coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010, Mother's Day weekend. The 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from the riches of God's unfathomable Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. Early bird pricing begins at only $449 plus taxes and fees per person and ends December 30th, 2009. This includes accommodations, meals, and all of the sessions. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going to our website at www.equip.org. Again, early bird pricing ends December 30th.